Can you hear me? Great. Teddy, I apologize for the little technical difficulty there, folks. So for participating and Dr. Zavala, I'll try to get you on here. I know that we're having a little bit of technical difficulty. Nina, can you move to the next slide, please? Will be Melissa Hastings. She is our immigration policy advisor here at the U.S. Conference of Catholic in El Paso, Texas. Then Dr. Luis Zavala, who the webinar will be Joanna Williams, who is with the Kino Border Initiative, based out of.
Audio mode has been changed.
Hi everyone, sorry about that. We were having some technical problems to directing DHS to hire an additional 5,000 Border Patrol agents. Onto more dangerous routes and into danger to stop seeing migrants from detention pending their removal proceedings, the ability to access counsel. So moving on to the third item here, the order without the chance to appear. And so DHS, the U.S., which is a fairly drastic expansion if they choose to go that route. In the U.S. for a long time, might not be able to show that longstanding presence. They may not have the documentation. Certain migrants, including certain asylum seekers, to wait in Mexico for their removal proceedings. Mexico, in their removal proceedings, that's in heightened risk of danger and potential. And so that sounds pretty benign on its face, but it comes protections that go along with being designated as an unaccompanied child. And we have everyone here that we've done two webinars that cover this order and the other orders. Call in to their members of Congress and encourage them.
I'm hoping folks can hear me okay. Can you go to the next slide, please? In El Paso. Teddy, I know you're on the phone. I hope. Go ahead, Teddy.
Can you not hear me? There's folks that are listening in. It's an honor and a privilege for us to be in, which is Ciudad Juarez, El Paso, Texas, and Las Cruces, New Mexico, which are all countries like trade and advocacy. So as part of our advocacy work, we are to address systemic injustice in immigration enforcement in our region. And these stories were about asylum seekers who were harassed and intimidated by uniform main conditions. So starting in September of 2016, what did we find from all of this? In essence, that there are systematic and pervasive practices in the El Paso sector that intentionally deter asylum seekers. And these aren't isolated one-off events, but they're issues that are deeply rooted in an instance of our most fundamental and shared values of justice and of fairness. So total indifference to the sacredness of every human person and every human life. So I'm going to focus this morning on three major issues at border crossers, and I know that Joanna will speak a lot more about issues facing asylum seekers. Also seeking asylum from together, be separated. In some cases, children are separated from their only parents in the detention and deportation of long-term residents. Has a series of stress-induced strokes because of the separation. And ICE refuses to release her because as well as across the country. And we've seen successful advocacy campaigns of people held in detention for over a year, sometimes even more than two. And to her detention in sight, Veronica is one of five children. four of whom are U.S. citizens and three of whom are under the age of 18, to be able to care for his family. So I called Guillermo one day. So Guillermo's story really evidences this problem of family separation. And so we are left wondering, and the situation begs the question. And I will just say that we're exceedingly concerned about an increase. And so before the new administration, national security. But today, there's no longer a need to justify how she was filing for a protection order from her abusive partner. They're being held now by Border Patrol. And in our daily dive. And people are afraid here at the border as well as across the country to walk with migrants and refugees, to work to create safe spaces and sanctuaries.
Jenny? A priority for removal under the new executive order.
Basically what it does is say that there will come into contact with law enforcement authorities made him removable. I think that's it. Thank you.
And the one after that, please. Great. So here in seconds, but we will have this information available. Thank you, Teddy. Presenting next is Dr. Luis Eduardo Zavala. Dr. Zavala, you can begin your presentation. And can we go to the next slide, please, for Dr. Zavala?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you great. Dr. Zavala, go ahead. Next slide,
thank
please.
Thank you so much. Well done. I would like to begin with my presentation. I'm a director right now of Monarch House, Humanitarian Relief for Migrants. We actually been recently created a year ago. And at the beginning, we were planning actually to become a shelter. But of course, because of the circumstances, we increased our presence at the railroad tracks. Because of our city, the metropolitan area is surrounded by railroad track, and a huge amount of migrants are getting to come to the city. We are providing actually around 900 meals a month. Those that were fleeing from Central America, from the Northern Triangle, and that is exactly our focus, the way we're trying to provide food, meal, and humanitarian assistance. You were actually asking about the kind of migrants we are receiving right now. The vast majority, you can see actually on the slide presentation. Can you show it? Yeah. Okay. We're like the Patronas, a well-known group of women in the Mexican state of Veracruz, actually providing food and water. That is exactly what we're doing now in the metropolitan area of Monterrey. We're providing humanitarian and legal assistance because of the insecurity in our neighboring state, the state of Tamaulipas. Most of the migrants who used to get this route, now they're coming to our challenge in terms of discrimination for those who are arriving, particularly because of the one side, the conservative part of the society, and the other side, I would say, the lack of knowledge about immigrants, most of the time associated with criminals, gangs, and the increasing level of insecurity. But our vision is now to provide not only humanitarian legal assistance, but as well, we're trying to provide the awareness of the kind of suffering that migrants are entering into the city, the kind of human rights violation they suffer not only from the authorities, local police officers, but as well from the armed forces. We have heard a lot of stories from young woman has been violated by police officers. So we're really concerned about human rights and promoting, first of all, their dignity. Social inclusion here in Monterey for the first time. People do not get used to see these migrants looking for money or looking for a meal, because they can't work, of course. But because of that, we're trying to provide those to the need some kind of food and meal. But people on the street, most of the time, they're completely against seeing all these migrants in the streets, in the area, particularly surrounding the railroads. So we're looking for freedom of movement and avoiding all sort of discrimination and violence. We actually can see as well the kind of people we're talking about in the next slide, please. We already have, because we started with one of the private universities here in Monterey Tech. We were doing a survey surrounding the railroad tracks and asking to migrants. Our survey was about 120 surveys, but we're trying to increase that kind of service in the railroad tracks because we need more information about exactly or close the amount of Central American immigrants we're receiving right now. We have 77% of Hondurans from Honduras, 11% from Salvador, and Guatemala and Nicaragua. As you can see, we have 80% of men and increasing the number of women. And something is really important for us and a kind of concern is the family. The number of families are increasing now, trying to get the city, and they're looking actually for some sort of legal procedure in order to get a visa, either from a humanitarian visa or some sort of link with the family out of what we call an anchor baby. What's important for us here at the local level, increase the, or trying to start a sort of local governance for migration. Something that really worries is about the authority, the local and state government. The local and the state government, they did not get used to receive migrants, this amount of migrants getting to the city. So this day, we can go to the next slide, please. We can see the reason they're leaving the country because of the insecurity. What we learned is because of the vast majority of child migrants. They're fleeing not for the first time, not only for poverty, but as well for violence. So we're talking about a refugee crisis. It's not only for us an issue of immigration crisis. So how dangerous the journey can be. And many migrants lose both legs and after falling off the top of the Mexican freight train coming from the south. And of course, families driving the Rio Grande. Of course, people want to avoid drugs and death. And of course, they don't want to be involved with a criminal gang. We are looking as well, girls facing particular dangers. One reason around even 3% in the South trying to reach the states, it's about actually increasing the percentage of girls arriving. We had a very sad story of a teenager who arrived to our shelter, provisional shelter. We don't have actually a house, we have a provisional shelter. She arrived and she was raped by two police officers in the state of Veracruz. And it seemed like that she knew in advance that that is supposed to happen to her. And we're trying to get it even for them legal assistance and access to justice. We know as well young girls that were abducted and raped. We know already criminal gangs in the South have been spreading all around Mexico about how they kill the families. And of course, they're finding a long, longer there to kill in Honduras go to school because of the rape being kidnapped. It's the same thing here in many areas of Mexico because of the criminal gun. So something we're looking at now and we want to provide is on one side legal assistance, but as well humanitarian assistance. But we're really focused on what we call, as I said before, a migrant governance. I will have to go to the next stage, please, the next slide, just to look at kind of